The following podcast has been brought to you by Badger Club.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Rambo Mania Show proudly brings to you, it is I, one half of the longest reigning Rambo Mania Tag Team Champions of the World. I went half Triple H, half Road Dog there.
Be like that.
The Angel Dash 6XL. Joining me as always,
it is I, your other half of the longest reigning Rambo Mania Tag Team Champions of all the time. And your current, reigning, defending, undisputed Rambo Mania champion of the world, TJ the Great. TJ.
Why did I go Batista theme? I don't.
We walk for miles inside this pit of danger here on the Banter Club, a place where no one can follow us. But no, of course, you should follow us. You should attempt to at least follow us. Yes, you should follow us. It's not that hard. You just be talking shit. But tonight, this is AEW Dynamite on the TBS, or, you know, as I call it, the Hoes Network.
I got hoes.
You know we got them hoes in all them different area codes. There's
some hoes in this
house. There's some hoes in this house. Some hoes in that house. I'm watching basketball, don't mind me. But of course, we are here to discuss AEW Dynamite. And before we discuss AEW Dynamite, we talk about the news in, out, and around the world of the pro wrestling. And it's been an eventful week.
It's been
a very eventful week. So let's just jump right to the things. Let's just jump right to the situations. Let's start where there always seems to be some wild shit going on over at the WWE, the biggest company in town.
Yep. That's why
you know what this is. You know what this is. Sasha Banks and Naomi. So I assume everyone has heard by this point. I assume it's been discussed up and down in all the wrestling fan circles. But let's go over it one more time. Monday evening, Sasha Banks and Naomi were set to be part of a six-pack challenge on Monday Night Raw to determine a contender for the women's title at Hell in a Cell. You know that crusty ho Helena coming around. So they're getting ready for that. Sasha and Naomi took issue with the creative. They spoke to Vince about it. But ultimately, the plans were set and the plans weren't changing. So Sasha and Naomi go to Johnny Ace's office, put their belts on the table, and they walk. And then the show goes on, and Vince feeds a line to Corey Graves about them summarily and unprofessionally walking out, quote unquote. And then WWE released a statement, which reads as following. When Sasha Banks and Naomi arrived at the arena this afternoon, they were informed of their participation in the main event of tonight's Monday Night Raw. During the broadcast, they walked into WWE Head of Talent Relations John Laurinaitis' office with their suitcases in hand, placed their tag team championship belts on the desk, and walked out. They claimed they weren't respected enough as tag team champions, and even though they had 8 hours to rehearse and construct their match, they claimed they were uncomfortable in the ring with two of their opponents, even though they'd had matches with those individuals in the past with no consequence.
Objection hearsay.
Sustained. Monday Night Raw is a scripted live TV show whose characters are expected to perform the requirements of their contract. We regret we were unable to deliver as advertised tonight's main event. Now, obviously, the last line is bullshit. They've never had a problem falsely advertising matches before. So let's get rid of that one immediately. But either way, to me, this whole thing, the statement and the entirety of what seems to be a concerted effort on WWE's part to make these two look bad is very interesting because they're going at these two. They got a PR mudslinging campaign on these two pretty much right now.
Yep. I'm going to do it like this. So Tevin is a journalist, right? I am a media guy, which means Adele, I wish you worked for us because you would be over here singing. Well, you will one day. One day you will do a version of Rumor Has It. Specifically for the show, you will see it will happen. I am putting it out there in the universe, putting it into existence. Adele will one day make a version of Rumor Has It for the show.
Rich Paul can't come over here though. I don't fuck with him.
With that being said, you know what I heard?
You know what I heard.
I heard there's some people in the locker room I heard talking shit and being like, you know, oh, they're looking at them as some type of mark. But I think that's them. I think that's the E putting that out there. Because if you look at Twitter, I disagree.
There's people that support them. There's people who, and it's like we've talked about before with that type of stuff. When people are told things from within the locker room, people are going to have their own perspective. So if someone is told that, well, there's not a lot of sympathy for them backstage, they were told that by someone backstage in WWE. Now, does that necessarily mean that no one has sympathy for them? Or does that just mean that one person that they talk to has no sympathy for them and they're projecting it on everyone else? We don't know.
And then another part of the rumors is no one is really talking about Naomi.
Yeah, that's the thing. Nobody's really talking about Naomi in this. All the talk is about Sasha because this is not the first time Sasha has clashed with them over creative.
Yeah. But apparently, Jimmy Uso is definitely defending his wife.
With Naomi, it's like, well, she's married to Jimmy Uso, who is family of Roman Reigns, and they ain't going to piss off Roman Reigns, so... Who, depending on whatever Roman thinks about this, that could impact the situation. There's a lot of moving parts within it. For me, like I said, this whole thing is interesting because they didn't have this type of smoke for Toni Storm when she walked.
Nope.
So it's like, why make this statement? Because Fightful came out and said that Sasha and Naomi didn't have a problem working with anybody in that match. Their issue was the booking of the tag team titles.
Team division, period.
Yeah, like they wanted to do stuff with the tag titles. And basically what was happening was WWE was like, we're going to put each of you against the champion, the singles champion. Like I think Naomi was supposed to face Bianca and Sasha was supposed to face Ronda. And they were going to face them both at Helena. And then there would just be nothing for the tag titles. So their issue was, what about the tag titles? Why are we tag champions if... we fucking wrestling the singles champions.
Yep.
What about ours? So, I mean, they could have said nothing. Absolutely nothing here. They probably should have said absolutely nothing here. Because again, this is far from the first time they've been unable to deliver on a main event. Card subject to change and all that shit, right? They love abusing that shit. But they chose to make this into what's now the biggest story in wrestling. They did this. When they put out that statement that I read, talking about Sasha and Naomi and the 8 hours and all that shit, they chose to do that. And I'm wondering why. Because again, you don't have to say nothing in this situation.
Back to rumor has it. Rumor has it that this might be some sort of work. And if it is, the fuck? Why?
If this is a work, this is the dumbest Vince Russo shit I've ever seen. It's fucking pants on head, the dumbest shit ever. Because they literally said in this statement, Monday Night Raw is a scripted live TV show.
Yep, and they buried the shit out of Sasha.
So if this is a work, it's fucking stupid. So I don't think it's a work. I don't think it's a work at all.
Yeah, same here.
Putting my tinfoil hat on, my feeling is, as it's been for years now, Sasha Banks, since she's the main party everybody's talking about here, Sasha Banks is well aware of the star power she wields.
Hell yeah.
And she knows she don't need them no more. And they know it too. Like, I often see people talking about, you know, Roman's going to go to Hollywood soon, or Becky's going to go to Hollywood soon. And it's like, the person that's going to go to Hollywood soon is Sasha Banks.
Damn right.
She's the one with the foot in the door. Like, it's not to say Roman or Becky can't go to Hollywood, because they could. But I mean, in terms of, like, when it comes to that jump is going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take a decent amount of time. Like, Rock didn't go straight from WWE to Hollywood. He had to work and grind.
Yep.
Batista had to work and grind. Cena had to work and grind.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to that, that transition is going to take, it's going to take its time for, for it to pop off. So if Roman were to go, it would take time.
Yep.
He, like, Roman's not going to be in a fucking Marvel movie next year.
Nope.
But Sasha,
yep,
she's the closest.
Yep.
She's the closest.
Other than Bad Bunny.
Yeah, well.
You know Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny is the man, yo. The fact that he's going to be in a Marvel movie, he just did wrestling. He's doing everything. He lit, yo. God bless that man.
That dude, he just does. He's Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg took all the jobs, and Bad Bunny was like, I like that. I'm going to take all the other jobs.
Yep. Not even, because he did it. He did a few jobs that fucking Snoop did.
Yeah, Snoop was his reference. Like, hey, this my nephew. He good.
And if you notice, ever since that Corona commercial, they did it together.
Yeah. They don't play. But I mean, this whole Sasha shit is crazy. Who knows what comes out of it? Who knows what's in the future for them? All I'm gonna say is, like I said at the end of this, she knows the star power she wields, and I'm sure she's leveraging that in some way. So good for her. Good for them.
Yep. I mean, for Sasha, for people who are like so, you know, decisive on which side they're picking. I'm not picking a side. I feel like I remember what happened when Austin left. You feel me? And it was almost to the day.
Yeah.
Of the anniversary. So I'm over here like, man, you do what's best for you. If you got to go cool down, you go cool down. But at the same time, just know you got coworkers and shit who kind of depend on you doing shit. So it's here and there. It's up to you, really.
Man, the only person that I'm kind of be like, man, you kind of could have waited was Jeff Hardy. Because he left in the middle of a match.
Yeah.
he took the heat and was like, all right, I'm out. One was crazy. I was like, all right, whoa, Jeff.
That's why they thought he was drunk, bro.
And I was like, what the hell?
But
that one was crazy. But everything else.
You heard what he said, though, right?
Yeah, he was just like, I just wasn't.
It wasn't him. It wasn't like literally there was something in his heart and in his mind that was just like, fuck this shit.
Yeah, he just was like, man, I got to go. And he went. So whatever. I ain't mad at him. I'm just saying that was kind of crazy that he just left right in the middle of a match.
Now, to be honest, as one of those guys was like an artist, that's when you would leave. That's when you leave when you're pissed and you can't take it anymore. Like, I'm just saying, like, that's
at least with Sasha and Naomi, they went to Vince. They tried to fix it. They couldn't fix it, so they just left. So, yeah.
Nah, Jeff is a gangster, bro. He did it the way I would have done it. I would have been, and I'll tell people straight up, it was the heat of the moment. I was fucking furious. I said, I got to go do what I got to go do. Fuck y'all. And if anybody take it some type of way, that's on you. I had to do what's best for me at the moment. It is what it is. Yep.
But let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the former Authors of Pain.
Hell yeah, aren't they doing a gimmick?
Have built a promotion called Wrestling Entertainment Series. And they got a card for June 4th. And it is quite the car. Let me run this down real quick. You got the homie Dirty Dango.
Yep.
Former Fandango. Mm-hmm. Versus Levis Valenzuela Jr. The you former No Way Jose.
Yep. The Dancing Boys.
Yes. Mike Bennett versus Biff Busick. Which.
Gold.
Yeah, shout out to that. I fuck with that. Dean Mutadi, the former Mojo Rawley, versus Lince Dorado.
Clean.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of NXT stuff going on here. Madison Rayne and Tennille Dashwood versus Deonna Purrazzo and Chelsea Green. This fucking is literally an fire. Impact match. What the hell? This That's is literally an impact
match. Fire!
So I don't know how they booked an impact match on this, but shout out to them.
Yo, shout out to them for booking this well.
this is not a bad card, if I'm honest. It's kind of weird, but it's not bad.
That's a fun show. Are they going to get some fucking CYN niggas in there?
Well.
Let's fucking go!
Killer Cross versus Samurai Del Sol versus yes! Jonah.
Yes! 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 Please,
and then,
though,
for their tag titles, the men themselves, the Authors of Pain versus Weston Blake and Steve Macklin. NXT! NXT! NXT!
Are you telling me they're really going with the Forgotten Motherfuckers?
The Forgotten Sons and the Authors of Pain? What the hell?
This is... Yes!
This is NXT!
Yo, that motherfucker's like...
We got black and gold for you right here.
Dude. Yeah, you like that black and gold shit? We got that.
You like that black and gold? We got some of that. Remember them niggas you forgot? They here now. Then the women's championship. Lena Fenene, the former Nia Jax, versus CJ Perry, the former Lana.
If Nia Jax does amazingly in this match...
Fuck I hope WWE. She does, because...
Fuck WWE.
Because CJ must really love her to take what seems to be her first match in months.
She's going to... Oh, couldn't be me.
Couldn't be me.
You're going to get run over by a train, mama.
Tamina, and then the main event.
Not Tamina. Nia Jax is a tough motherfucker.
I don't know. Hopefully it goes well. And then the main event, World Championship. Adam Scheer. Ooh. The former... Braun Strowman, control your narrative zone.
The CYN OG.
Versus Alistair Overeem. Yes, that Alistair Overeem. The one that fought Brock Lesnar and kicked him in the stomach so hard he woke up in WWE. That Alistair Overeem.
Ah.
So... That dude wants shit on pro wrestling. And here he is, pro wrestling.
Let me say something right quick. For all y'all, for all athletes, period. Don't shit on WWE. That might end up your fucking job. Don't shit on wrestling. That might end up your fucking job. Like, all you motherfuckers will be talking all that shit. You're going to look really silly
when you show up on one of them shits. Yeah, when you can't play the game or, you know, fight. At a high level anymore, at the highest level anymore, and you need that money to keep coming in, pro wrestling. That's how it's been for decades.
As NFL Dan players, Severn.
NBA players, MMA fighters.
as Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, you could have a whole second prosperous career in pro wrestling.
As Kane... well, yeah.
You're trying.
Let's pray. Man, let that man go, man. Let that man go.
Yeah, hopefully.
Let that man go. Let him go. Free Kane.
Free Kane. Didn't they release him?
I didn't see. I just know that everybody was crying about it because they were like fucking the guys who were trying to do shit were actually... Or who did shit. I don't know. I wasn't there.
I thought I heard that they released him.
They released those guys way quicker than they did him. So that's the fucked up situation.
Yeah, I'm sure they would wait on that because he does have name value, but I don't know.
Let's
see. But yeah, that card is interesting to say the least. The commentary team for this, Matthew Raywalt, the former Aiden English, and Jonathan Coachman.
The coach?
No beef with Raywalt, but Coach, good luck to him. Good luck to him.
The coach.
I wish them luck.
That's weird.
I'd have the coach
man.
On interviews, but.
That's yeah, that's why I'm like, the coach?
Yeah, I'd have put the coach on interviews.
Okay.
Yeah, not commentary, but they made their choice.
I need this song, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody going to give me. That shit was so annoying, but it was annoying. He's the heel, so it was great.
The world watching me.
The world watching me. God damn, that shit was
That's
terrible.
The hell up. The former authors of Pain, they making moves. Like I said, interesting card.
They're doing a good thing. They're doing a good thing.
Yeah, giving people work. Hopefully they do well. Now, WWE Chief Brand Officer, Stephanie McMahon. She is stepping away from WWE to tend to family. She tweeted out earlier today that she's going to give up most of her WWE duties as she, you know, steps away to deal with her family and stuff. So I don't know.
She says that the WWE is her future and yada yada.
Yeah, it's not like she's not saying I'm done or I'm leaving. She's just saying I'm taking a break. So, you know, she's a mom. She's been a mom. She's been working there.
She's a human being.
Yeah, all her adult life. She's been working there all her adult life. So, yeah, she should take some time and, you know, be with her family. So good for her. Good for Steph.
The one time that I'm All Grown Up theme song actually made sense for her.
Yeah, she is. She's all grown up. She should go back to using that because it's better than the one she has now.
The queen, when the kings bow down and relinquish the crown. What is your deal with that song?
That song sucks.
I don't hate it that much. I'm just like, it's just like, eh, fuck.
That song fucking sucks.
Tevin hates it. I'm just like, whatever, man. It's a theme song.
But yeah, in the meantime, taking over her duties is Nick Khan. So make your memes about the Nick Khan takeover while it's a hot topic. I saw one of him moving up the Mortal Kombat ladder. It was Triple H, Shane McMahon, and now he's passing Stephanie on his way to Vince.
Yep.
So that man, Nick Khan, is a mess.
Until I pull up and fucking take his job and then make it a beautiful place over there.
Yeah, one could hope.
Yo, Vince, let me holler at you right quick.
What, pal?
Just hire me, bro.
I don't have time to hire anyone.
No, hire me and let me fucking make this shit not just a profitable business.
This shit is profitable. I'm making more money than I ever have.
I said not just a profitable business, but a fun place to work at.
This is a fun place to work.
No, it's fucking not.
For me, it is.
For your evil ass.
That's all that counts, pal. That's all that counts.
No, because you need all these people to make your business move. And if you don't.
You're right, pal.
Yes.
I have to see if my employees are happy, if my important people are happy.
You know you don't give a damn about that shit. So I have to see about Roman.
If Roman Reigns is happy. If Roman Reigns is unhappy, I have to fix some things. So you brought up a good idea.
Let me see if Roman is happy. Let me holler at you right quick. If you let me rock the place, you see what I'm saying?
Is Roman Reigns going to be happy?
He's going to more than be happy, bro. He's going to be like, look, we got a little chubby Oos running around in the office. You don't love that shit. Little chubby Oos be bringing all the munchies.
one could hope.
Chubby Oos be the one who bring the pizza to the goddamn movie theater.
Straight up like that.
That shit was alright though. I'm not even gonna lie to you. It was a little salty.
Yeah. I mean, you know, theater food, but yeah. For as far as theater food goes.
Yeah, the pizza's better than the nachos. I was actually full.
Yeah, I wanted nachos. Didn't even get no nachos, man.
They didn't have nachos, bro.
I know.
And the AC ain't work. Also, man.
Yeah, there was a lot going on in that theater. Good movie, though.
Yeah, good movie.
Yeah. Tony Storm was on AEW Unrestricted last week. And she talked about the whole pie in her face deal in WWE that got so much attention. She was talking about, you know, everyone hated that. And they think I hated it, but I actually was happy with it because the original idea was way worse.
Oh, God.
Apparently, the original idea for that segment was for her to, like, get stripped to her underwear or whatever. They're going to take her shirt and whatever off and leave her embarrassed in the ring. And then I guess someone was like, nah, we can't do that. And they just changed it to a pie. So I guess good for...
So luckily, degrading women is funny, Vince?
Yeah, I guess because you know. You know, it was some fucking old dude that suggested that.
Did you hear this? Well, we're going to talk about Serena Deeb later.
Yeah.
But what she did opened my eyes a little bit, and I was like,
She was spitting. But yeah, I guess good for her that it was changed. someone, I guess, had the sense to be like, we can't do that. And it went how it went. But yeah, for anyone who thinks Toni Storm was upset about the pie, she actually was not upset about the pie.
She wasn't upset because the original idea was so fucking gut-wrenching.
She was like, okay, fine, a pie and I'll take a pie.
A pie in the face is just Nickelodeon shit, which fine.
Yeah, all right, whatever. And
they literally used slime one time. WWE is literally turning into mid-90s Nickelodeon.
Man. Mid-90s Nickelodeon had a lot of variety, so I don't know if I'd go that far. Yeah, at least
they had good shows.
Had a ton of variety. They had game shows, live action, cartoons, horror, comedy.
All that shit that they got on the WWE. Well, not even WWE, on Peacock.
Peacock. Yeah, Peacock maybe, but I don't know. The rating. 922,000 and a 3.3 in 18 to 49 key demographic. Seventh on cable. A little bit up from last week in the overall, same in the demo. Steady number, of course, trailing NBA content and now NHL playoff content. So now you got basketball playoffs and hockey playoffs and some reality shows.
Yeah, I was watching some Rangers.
Yeah, Rangers are playing.
I'm a Rangers guy.
Yeah. For reference, game one of Warriors Mavs, which is up against the second half of Dynamite, 6.5 million viewers and a 2.2 in the key demographic, which is fucking Raw 2000 numbers right there. That was what Raw was doing back in the day when it was hot. So
fucking NBA, man. Sheesh.
Yeah, NBA is hot right now.
Yeah, because everything is this. I don't know, but this is like this, like the most unpredictable season I've seen in a long time.
I think that's the big thing about the NBA right now, which is driving up the interest. We're at the Final Four, the conference finals, and it's unpredictable. Like, there's no LeBron. The Warriors are in it, but like, they're not the Warriors. Like, they're still the Warriors, but they're not the Warriors of past, where it's like, well, obviously the Warriors are going to win. There's still some doubt in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So it's essentially wide open this year. So, and for that, for the first time.
And you
time
saw what happened to our
time.
Boy, the Heat.
We're getting smoke right now. So. We won game one.
That's crazy.
Did a great job, but we're getting fucking killed right now.
And it's crazy. I'm like, what? How?
Yeah. So like that, like the end of this game is going to be 1-1 in the conference finals. Golden State won game one. We'll see how Dallas does in game two. It's an exciting time right now. So that's going to cut into the ratings quite a bit.
Are you ready?
I think I am.
Ready. No! I said, are you ready?
I am ready.
Then, for the thousands in attendance, this is us, and the millions watching at home.
Yeah.
It's time to light the fuse.
And bring the boom?
Because it is
dynamite.
Now, with that being said, let's get ready to banter.
AEW Dynamite from Houston, Texas. We open this thing up with the Owen Hart Tournament, round one, Samoa Joe versus the Joker.
Oh, now, shit. And what a Joker.
The popular rumor for this was Johnny Gargano.
Yes.
And it was a Johnny.
And it was a Johnny Wrestling.
And it was a Johnny Wrestling. But it was not that Johnny Wrestling.
No.
It was John Hennigan, who, of course, bases his last name around wherever he works.
Yep. So if course he's in anything Mexican, it's Johnny Mundo.
Johnny Mundo, Johnny Impact, you know, so on and so forth.
Yep.
And here he is, Johnny Elite. So the crowd popped, and I'm sure a lot of people in the crowd thought when they saw Johnny Elite that it was Johnny Gargano. But then, you know, Johnny Elite comes out, and the crowd is like, oh, no, that's the other Johnny. Okay, that guy's cool, too. And he still gets a good reaction.
Now, I told you I was going to talk about interest. Bro, they did the slow-mo on this motherfucker. I love that shit.
Yeah, they gave the slow-mo. They gave the slow-mo. I was hyped.
I was so happy. This man said, And I didn't even hear his current theme song in my head. I just heard, too much waste of time, and I won't waste no more.
You should buy that shit. Tony should be like, how much for this, Vince? Give me this shit.
Nah, bro, they should get an actual song from The Doors.
Yeah, they should. They should. That'd be crazy. Probably hell expensive, yeah. But it'd be crazy.
Vince would be like, you actually using a Morrison gimmick, you motherfucker.
You son of a bitch.
Tony got over here like, I can do Johnny Morrison better than you can.
Want to sell me his name? So yeah, here we go. Samoa Joe versus Johnny Elite. Joe hits him with a big chop, backs him down to the corner. Then Johnny comes back, sends Joe outside, follows with a fucking side somersault. What the fuck?
Beautiful.
He's already doing crazy shit.
Jim Ross is loving it.
Yeah. JR was like, this young man is very talented. I've watched this man from day one. That's probably why, because he's known Johnny for a long time.
Yep. So he's like, oh, this kid, man.
This guy's great.
You know, to Jim Ross, everyone's a kid.
Yeah, there's this kid. I watched this kid from when he was an actual kid, and now he's an adult, but he's still a kid to me. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
By the way,
the commentary did not let you forget that his name is now Johnny Elite.
Yes, Johnny Elite.
They reference him as anything else but as Johnny Elite the entire time. They didn't say he or look what he... Johnny Elite the entire time. They trying to hammer that bitch home.
Yeah, they wanted you to know, this man is Johnny Elite.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy because apparently he's not signed. But we come back. Joe cuts him off, sets up for the muscle buster, but Johnny escapes, drops him with the 450 for the near fall. Joe was far on this 450. So, and I do like that the commentators were like, he didn't quite get the full extension of that 450 like he would have liked to.
It worked perfect with the story, because when he went for the pin, you know, Joe got out.
Yeah, it gives it a real fight vibe. So he goes Starship Pain. Finishing move, but Joe gets the knees up. Palm strikes this man to the corner. When Joe laid in with the palm strike, I was like, oh, shit. Hold up. Backed him down. Follows it up.
I don't remember if Joe did the temple tap, but in my head, he did the temple tap. Because he put them knees up so fast, I was like, ah.
He was ready. He was ready. He got him in the corner, set him up, dropped him with that damn Kinnikuman Buster.
Yep.
And got the 1, 2, and 3. Samoa Joe advances in the tournament. And immediately post-match, his music hit. And then it stopped because Jay Lethal,
Sanjay Dutt, came down running with a goddamn lead pipe. I was like, yo.
He was like, fuck that shit.
I was like, chill. It's one dude.
He came for blood. It's Samoa Joe, though.
Yeah.
So they're beating this man down. Satnam Singh is out there beating him up. But then the best friends run out. Chuck Taylor, Trevoretta, Rocky Romero.
Best friends.
They run this man off with the steel chairs.
Well, are they even really the best friends right now?
I mean, they said the best friends when they came out. But then later on, they said Roppongi. Yeah. But I guess... I mean, I guess that collectively they're the best friends because Roppongi Vice is just Trent and Rocky.
Yeah.
So when Chuck is involved, they're all the best friends. We got Lexi with Jeff Hardy, who has been medically cleared for tonight's match against Adam Cole. Of course, following last week's mayhem against Darby Allin. But of course, interviews are not allowed in AEW.
No, you will be interrupted every time.
And here
come
the EVPs, the Young Bucks, to remind you of that. Hey, these aren't allowed here.
What are you doing? What we do here.
So they come up. They tell Jeff, hey, Jeff, man, we're worried about you. You've been doing all this crazy shit for 30 years. Mm-hmm. You should kind of calm down. I don't know. You should take the night off or Adam Cole's going to kill you. And that's like
the literal thing they said was like, you're a shell, your former self.
You're a shell, your former self.
You fuck what? Jeff got up so fast.
Yeah, Jeff was like, fuck out of here.
He's like, Matt, do you know me? Like,
Matt says, Jeff will be fine. He's a real Hardy, not a Hardy cosplayer like you two. And then he says, if you guys interfere tonight, Adam Cole ain't the only member of the super elite that's going to get his ass whipped. And then they walk out. So they're ready. Hardys are ready for all the bullshit.
This is fighting words. Yo,
fighting words.
Matt Hardy said, this is a threat, bro.
He said, this is a threat. Take this as a threat.
Like, I'm not joking with you, bro. I'm going to spank the shit out of each and every last one of you little elite motherfuckers if y'all pop up.
If I see you out there, it's your ass.
Yep.
So, up next, we're back to normal this week. CM Punk comes out, gets a big pop from the crowd. They're loving him. He's not wearing anything to antagonize. Well,
he's wearing something. He's wearing something very pro-choice.
Let me back up because we're in Texas and there may be some people in the crowd that were offended by his shirt.
Yep. Very pro-choice.
Yes. CM Punk is wearing an abortion is human rights t-shirt. Very, very pro-choice, as you say.
Y'all gonna hate me. I don't like talking politics, but I agree.
Oh, yeah. I ain't making no bones about that. I agree. I've said it on the show. Her body, her choice. That's how we rocking here on the Banter Club.
Can we talk about homie from DDT right quick, though?
Yes, because the next match, Konosuke Takeshita versus Hangman Adam Page. This shit slapped. You understand me? Kenny Omega went on Twitter after this, was like, talk about all this forbidden door. And here come the DDT motherfuckers showing y'all up. I love that Kenny, after all these years, is still like, I'm a DDT guy. Fuck you talking about?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
All and you that know shit that everybody hates, him wrestling little girls and the Hadouken and all that crazy shit that started in DDT, he stands by that shit. Always. Because he also did a bunch of dope shit in DDT as well. Like, great wrestling matches.
Did you hear Punk the entire night?
Punk and Excalibur were just fucking...
Impressed. Impressed. Even Jim was like, oh!
That's good. What the
but
hell?
You know Jim always talking about size.
Yeah.
There's a big young lad from the Orient.
Yeah, he is, though.
Yeah, and I'm like, bro, what you trying to say, bro? That don't sound right.
You know Jim. He's just looking at athletes. There's a big guy. He could play football. He could play for Oklahoma. So yeah, Hangman and Takeshita just start bombing immediately. They should start trading.
Fucking one of the things Jim says is like, what a hard shot. Did you hear that?
Yeah, these two were going, man.
God damn.
They go to the apron. Takeshita rushes, but Hangman drops him with a back suplex on the apron, then follows with the Arihara moonsault. Into the picture-in-picture. Out of that pip. Takeshita comes back, hits a big blue thunder bomb for a near fall. Shout out to El Generico. CM Punk gives the shout out.
Yo, he was doing mad El Generico moves here.
Mm-hmm. He was.
Didn't he do a haluva kick right after?
He did a haluva kick. Shit, he should have did a corner brainbuster. But
facts.
But he hits a big tope cone hello to the outside.
Yes, sir.
Takeshita follows with the haluva kick in the corner. But then Hangman comes back, hits his own haluva kick. We giving love to El Generico tonight. You love to see it. Rest in peace to the homie, El Generico.
Oh, hell yeah.
Rest in peace to the homie.
He ain't dead, bro.
He dead. The cartel got him.
You never know when he'll come back.
I believe in him. But what they told me is the cartel got him. But that might not be true.
As soon as Kevin Owens gets a bad contract, you know Kevin Owens is going to go find.
He'll find Generico and bring him out of hiding.
Yep.
Yeah, I hope that cartel ain't get you, bro. But
yeah, don't worry about it. I know he all right.
You could. But they're fighting in the ring. Hangman comes back. Fucking German suplex is Takeshita on his fucking dome. And then Takeshita gets up and suplexes him right back.
And to be honest, he lands more on his dome than fucking than Takeshita did.
I was like, holy shit. We really doing a Japanese match now. Holy shit.
Jesus Christ.
A meet center ring, larried each other down, standing ovation from the crowd. Crowd's going crazy for this.
I like on the mic, CM Punk is like, oh, I think he landed on his wrist or some shit. Just like us in real life. Like, yeah. It was fun to have him on commentary. He's one of us. It's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Then he went. He was like, oh, I thought it's his neck.
Yeah. Good shit.
So, they're fighting again, center ring. Hangman drops him with the tombstone pile driver. That gets a near fall. And then Hangman, he sets up for the buckshot lariat. But Takeshita escapes, rocks him with a forearm, then drops him with a high angle power bomb. That gets a near fall. Hits him with the big running knee strike. That gets the 1-2. He got him. No. Stalling German follows from Takeshita, but his neck gives out and he can't bridge on the pin, which I like. Yep. He goes for the knee again, but is dodged. And then Takeshita hits the ropes for a flying lariat, but Hangman drops him with a rolling elbow. He goes up top, but Takeshita knocks him off. Hangman follows with a big lariat in the ring, then goes to the apron, hits the buckshot lariat for the one. No, he hits the buckshot and then he lifts him up.
Yeah.
For the go to sleep. Gets the 1, 2, and 3.
I love Punk after this. I'm in his head.
I'm in his head.
Most people, you know, they get upset when you use their finish. Not me, because I got him exactly where I want him.
I got him exactly where I want him, and I stole that finish anyway.
Yeah, he stole the fuck Kenta. Which to me, I'm still like, yo, why won't y'all have that match, bro? Fuck.
They got to do it, man. They got to fucking do it. They don't play with me.
He was on this show during fucking quarantine, like the worst fucking time, and he was on here.
Yeah.
So you gonna tell me back. He ain't gonna come out here now that everything is safe? Well, not safe, but safer. Yeah.
Bring his ass back, and then him and Punk can have at it.
Yep.
Hangman's GTS is better than Punk's buckshot lariat. I will say that for sure. excellent match, though. Excellent match. Put Takeshita on the map as a fucking great young up-and-comer and showcase that Hangman, once again, is the fucking ace of AEW.
Oh, ace!
This would have been right at home with Tanahashi in the back watching on. And then...
Kind of wish he was.
Yes, me too. Shit. He will be soon enough. Mm. Hangman and Punk stare each other down from ramp to ring following the match. And we see the crowd going back and forth between the two. Like, you got the sections that are loudly cheering for Punk and booing Hangman and vice versa. But it's loud. It's loud. I think that's
Rock versus Austin vibes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the crowd, people are choosing their sides and they're planting their flags.
Just one.
So I like it. The feud's heating up. It's heating up. I like the angle that Punk's going with. I'm in his head. He was saying during the match, like, he's the anxious millennial cowboy. I see that creeping out of him. I'm going to work on it. And, you know, they're telling a solid story between these two.
Punk was like, I'm out here scouting, a whole bunch of good shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. I liked all this. Fuego del Sol. He still wants smoke with the House of Black.
I don't understand. This man, he looking for a death wish. Hey. But I guess now this introduces some fun to this.
Yes, because he's like, I'm going to still take you on, House of Black, but I'm not alone. And then... The Dark Orders, Evil Uno, and 10, Preston Vance. They step in, and they're like, we got Fuego's back this Friday on Rampage, House of Black. And it's set. Six-man tag. Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee versus the Workhorsemen, Anthony Henry and J.D. Drake.
I like this the way they did this entrance.
This entrance was cool.
You know, he comes out, Swerve comes out, and then they started off with his, and then they pause it at just the right time. And then Keith Lee's theme comes out. I can bring that fire. I bring that fire. Yes, that shit works. God.
These two got so much charisma together. It's fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you know they're pushing them because they basically murk these dudes. They murk the Workhorsemen.
Well, they said before the match that, you know, this would make them the number 5 seed.
Yes. So they went in with the intent to kill, and they killed. Keith Lee leapfrogs into the ring with a crossbody. That should look crazy. He's fucking squashed J.D. Drake.
Hell yeah.
And then he pounced Anthony Henry into oblivion.
I like Jim Ross putting over JD Drake too.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, he's solid. He's very, very solid. You know, he's not out here to do pretty moves, but he's rough and tough. So I fuck with it.
Nah, I like JD Drake a lot. Like, Swerve even over chopped him in this, and he was just like, yeah. Come on.
I tough like man. Yeah. But I've always liked JD.
Yeah, JD's good. I like him. I like the Workhorsemen are a good team. They're I like Anthony Henry too. They're solid. So they set him up in the corner for this fucking crazy power bomb double stomp combo. They're calling it the Fall from Glory, which is a cool name.
God. That's a dope ass name.
Yeah, and that gets the win for these guys.
I love the way did you peep Swerve doing the gimmick before he landed on this man? What? Where he goes, like, goodbye.
Oh, yeah, you're done. Night, night.
Like, it's a wrap for you.
You out of here. And poor Anthony Henry was out of here. Mm-hmm. Fucking Excalibur at the end accidentally calls JR Taz. Probably because he's used to calling Swerve and Keith Lee matches on either Dark or Rampage when Taz is next to him. Yep. And Excalibur's like, oh, my mistake. I'm sorry. And JR is just like, oh, no, it's fine. The internet's not going to bother you about it, but they'll bother me about it. And then he just starts impersonating Taz. Yep. He's like, it's FTW, brother. I'm like, what the hell?
I love him.
Yeah, when JR decides, I'm going to just crack some jokes real quick. Post-match, they get the mic. Keith Lee has good news. We are now a top 5 ranked tag team, which means we're coming for those tag team titles. But that brings out another top 5 tag team, Powerhouse Hobbs and Absolute Ricky Starks.
The way they did this, poo, 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 powerhouse. I was like, yo!
That was fire. That was fire.
I'm loving the way y'all doing these entrances today. I don't know what y'all doing, but I like it. Keep going. Fuck with all of it.
Starks is offended that you guys think you deserve a shot at the title, considering I beat Jungle Boy last week and I already beat y'all asses. And then Swerve is like, man, you out here looking like a bar of soap with a pearl necklace disrespecting the game.
You know what that reminded me of, by the way, when I was watching it? You know what? That guy who be online talking about, yo, don't ever come up to me disrespecting, looking like so on and so forth.
Yeah, yeah, Swerve is not plays. Like, yo, you come out here looking like a bar of soap. Get out of here.
Don't ever come out here disrespecting me looking like a bar of soap. I'm not going to lie, though. That fit was very fashionable.
Yeah, I like the fit. I like the fit. I still like the fit. But
it's clean. It's a nice spring color with the pastels and the gray. It's a nice fit, bro. What the fuck, bro?
It's a good fit.
But it's not over yet. Keep going.
Yeah, they're not done with the fits because fucking then Jurassic Express comes out and Christian's like, Ricky Starks, you down there looking like you're about to go play golf with my grandfather. I'm like, yo, why are you doing this to Ricky?
Yo, they sunned him down.
Yo, Christian and Swerve was backstage like, are we going to get this
Yo, we roasted him.
I know Ricky could get him back just as easily. So
yep. He going to be all right. He had them shades. He looked nice, bro.
Yeah.
Damn, yo.
Because Ricky got bars too, so I ain't even worried. He going to get him back.
Yo, my man, don't ever come out here looking like somebody going to go with my grandpa.
So,
oh God,
he's like, you know what, we got all these tag teams out here, the tag team champions, we're gonna issue the challenge. How about we do a three-way match for Double or Nothing, you guys and you guys versus these guys for the tag titles? And then how about next week, Jungle Boy wants his win back, so how about he faces you, Starks, and the guy that cost him that match, Swerve? How about we have a triple threat between you guys next week? When he says the guy that cost him the match, you see Keith Lee and the ring go, hey, now wait a minute.
Yeah.
Now hold on.
That's not what he did. The man who cost him the match was the referee.
Yeah, it was the ref. The same ref that was in this match.
We were cursing that motherfucker out.
Now we don't deal with that.
You fucking idiot. Poor man is just playing the goddamn role.
Ray just played his role. That was what he was booked to do. It's Tony Khan's fault.
Over here being Mark's talking about, what the fuck?
Tony Khan, why you made him do that?
We're Tony. We out here. We terrible. We Mark's for that. You don't ever come out here trying to disrespect me with my grandma's pearl necklace.
Your age. Peaced it on Ricky this week.
Oh, God, man.
Now we got Tony with Red Velvet and Chris Statlander. Red Velvet's like, yeah, I know we used to be cool as shit. You saved me a couple times, but I'm a baddie now, all right?
Oh, God.
And Chris Statlander's like, yeah, you have changed. And then Jade walks up and is like, yeah, that's right. She's a baddie now. And then, you know.
She needed a better leader.
Yeah, she just needed a better leader. All that alien
I don't
bullshit.
Need a leader, motherfucker. I'm the leader. Yeah. That's what you should have said, Red Velvet, but all right.
And then, you know, Red Velvet walks off, and then Jade walks off, and then she turns around. She's like, hey, Tony, by the way, cut this shit. And then Tony's
he's over here like, what the fuck did I do? What did I do?
Yo, why poor Tony.
The fuck did I do? Cut what shit? I'm just working.
I didn't say nothing, man.
Fuck, man. What did he do?
It's true, though.
Fuck did this poor man do? God damn it. It's because he's friends with Britt Baker. Right?
No, I don't like her. Like I said with Punk earlier, back to normal. MJF is here. Things are back to normal. The most despised man in all Elite Wrestling.
Yep.
Crowd's bombing him with asshole chants. And then MJF is like, do you mean me or the guy that I'm about to whip?
Yeah. I like the part where he was like, unfortunately, we're here in Texas and not Long Island. And the crowd is just like, bro. Fucking, Texas.
He can't Houston, even say it Houston the first time.
Houston to her.
Houston, Texas. Got it.
Yo, did something legit fall out of his mouth where he said,
Right. It looked like So Wardlow comes out down to the ring in the cuffs. Set him up. They take his shirt off.
Did you see the way he made his entrance?
Mm-hmm.
Telling you, it was all about entrances this week.
Wardlow, he posted a video, like a video package of him using War Pigs by Black Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And now I need him to use that song.
Maybe that's why they cut the music.
So they could set it up. So
maybe Tony is trying to get the gimmick. And then they can set it up for Double or Nothing.
Yeah. Because if he gets War Pigs, it's over. They got to put the belt on him.
It's beef after that, bro. That's genius.
Yeah, man. So, MJF, he's like, you know, if you retaliate at any point, you will forfeit the stipulation and you won't get the match. And then he's like, all right, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
MJF spits in his face to start it off.
I might.
Do what you gotta do. And then MJF, lashing number one. Whoosh.
Nothing.
Wardlow doesn't budge. He laughs. And just like, what the fuck?
Did you see the meme that I sent y'all?
What?
It was the, you know, the girl who's always like, ah! And then the cat that says something. Yeah, yeah. Like, for example, I remember they did a Walking Dead one where it says, don't enter dead inside.
Yeah, don't dead open inside.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
If you was ever a fan of that show, but you know the one.
So they did that with the cat. And bruh, when MJF gets super pissed later on.
Yeah, because first one, Wardlow doesn't budge. So yep. MJF goes for the second one, hits him even harder.
Nothing.
Still doesn't budge. And then MJF is like, what the fuck? And then he just snaps and then just hits him five times in succession. And Sean Spears has to grab him. Like, no, you're going to waste him. You're going to waste him.
Yep.
And MJF is fucking furious, like, sell these shits. And Wardlow's like, no.
It wasn't until Sean Spears took over. He hit him one time. He was like, and he's like, motherfucker, I'm going to get you right now. He swung one right over his ear onto the side of his, like, his trap right here.
Yeah.
Nasty, bro. That one hurt. And he looked at him like, you motherfucker. I think that one was the shoe.
Yeah, he got pissed. And then he just looks. He's like, one more. You got one more.
Because he looks at Sean Spears like, you motherfucker. But then he turns to MJF like, I'm going to kick your ass.
So MJF sits up for the last one. And then low blows him. Kicks him in the ding ding.
Yep.
And then just starts to whip him with the belt and beat him down. And it's a beat down.
Yep, and the ref is already like, yo, what the fuck? That's it? Like, you already...
Yeah, it's over. You did it already. And then Sean Spears is like, get the hell out of here. And they beat down
Wardlow. You've done your job, ref. Get the fuck... By the way, when Wardlow was doing his entrance, there was one of the guys that you could tell is a horrible plant. Because the two actual security guys that are actual AEW security, they stick their hands out like this to tell them to stop moving. And this motherfucker kept going until he walked into the motherfucker's hand. And then the guy's like, bruh.
Literally every week, it's like two or three actual security guys. And then the rest are just indie wrestlers. Mm-hmm. All DPW guys. Like, that's basically what it is every
and
week.
The poor indie guy looked at him like, oh, shit. And it was the same guy. It was the same guy that when they were going up through the tunnel, he kept looking at the camera. This man was not used to being on TV. I should have never.
trying to get on.
Kept looking like, oh shit. Oh shit. Like, bro, you don't look directly into the camera, motherfucker. You do your job.
MJF gets the dynamite diamond ring, drops Wardlow with it, and then Spears hits the C4, pins Wardlow, and MJF counts three. Sean Spears gets the visual pin on the War Dog.
You know what that means?
He is going to die in the cage. And MJF is going to
allow it. I wouldn't be surprised if this match lasts us but like 2 minutes. Not even a minute. Not even like 30 seconds.
I think this match is going to last quite some time. But I think it's just going to be Wardlow torturing Sean
Spears.
You think
he's going to toy with him?
And since MJF is the referee, he's not going to fucking want to count the win for Wardlow, even though Sean Spears is clearly dead.
Yep. And then something going to happen with either Tony Khan or a ref or some shit.
Yeah, some shit is going to happen that it enables Wardlow to get the win, and then that'll be it. But yeah, Sean Spears is a dead man in that cage. We got Roppongi Vice in the back. They're back together, full time, they say. And they are going for all the tag titles, Ring of Honor, IWGP heavyweight titles, and we want them AEW tag titles. But let's start at Ring of Honor, FTR, you and us, how about we do it? Accept our challenge. And then Trent goes, I know Brett would. He'd accept it. You should accept it.
And the way that they put it over was like the ROH titles are those belts that just eluded us the entire time.
Those are the
time.
Ones they never got.
So we want those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Owen Hart Tournament Round 1. Kyle O'Reilly versus Rey Fénix.
Bobby Fish versus the G-Unit.
What?
I don't know, man.
They'll put what Bobby Fish going. What the G Unit gonna do with Bobby Fish? To be honest,
Lloyd Banks.
He's gonna rap him to death. I like that since Penta is dark, Rey Fénix came out in the white. He is the light, while Penta is the dark. And
this music is so
clean.
Is the
bastard.
Like, did you notice how clean this music is?
Oh, Fénix is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's literally the complete opposite. It's like your Penta comes out to this dark metal, and this is like happy techno. Yeah. I was like, right, Fénix, they're really leaning into this. This is dope.
He is the light, and Penta is the dark. And Pac is the bastard.
It is what it is. Because think about it. Pentagram, right? Fénix. A Fénix is a firebird that explodes in reverse. Yeah. Sounds very heavenly and nice and clean.
Yeah. So it works for these two.
Mm-hmm.
But Kyle, he is working Rey Fénix's previously injured arm early. Grabs it up top. But Phoenix does this sick escape where he holds the arm and drops down through the ropes and then sends Kyle outside.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then he follows with a tope con hilo.
Yep.
He goes for a frog splash in the ring, but Kyle catches him, puts him in the triangle. And we go to commercial break with Kyle getting the heat. We come back. Kyle throws Phoenix into the ropes, and Phoenix tries his dodge, but he can't hold the ropes and do the full spin because of his arm.
Yep.
Which I like. Mm-hmm. Phoenix comes back, does some crazy-ass blue thunder bomb for a near fall.
Super nice. Super clean. Yeah.
And just straight up spikes him with a Hurricane Rana for a near fall. That shit was crazy. And Kyle comes back with a big strike combo. Phoenix hits the ropes, but Kyle catches him, drops him with the butterfly suplex combo.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got a big strike exchange going. They collapse with a slap each center ring. Mm-hmm. And then Phoenix gets a rope walk Rana to the outside. That shit looked crazy.
Beast. Yeah, this man landed on the goddamn barricade.
Yeah. And then he goes for a cutter inside the ring, but Kyle catches him in the arm bar.
Mm-hmm.
So Phoenix arm is holding bar. It. He's holding it. He's trying to prevent the grip, but Kyle breaks it off. He's able to cinch
Did
in that arm
bar. Did you see the
bar.
What the fuck on his face, by the way?
Ooh.
When Kyle O'Reilly got that damn arm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was like, no.
No way.
That was perfect. His eyes just opened up like, fuck.
No.
The fact like, that you gotcha. Could see his eyes through that goddamn mask and he was like, no. It was perfect.
It was a great fucking transition into what mm-hmm. ultimately ended up being the finish because Kyle locks in that arm bar and Phoenix can't escape and he taps.
Mm-hmm. That's why Phoenix gave that face, bro.
Advances. Yeah.
Jim Ross. I'm praising him a lot today. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. He started talking about that kick, how flush and precise it was. God,
he was like, I wouldn't want to strike with Kyle O'Reilly, let me tell you.
No, not that one. The one where Kyle O'Reilly was on the top rope sitting. Ray Phoenix comes in and jumps up and kicks him right in the fucking jaw.
Oh, that one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fucking beautiful. And fucking... After that, bro, he was just, I don't know, man. Ray Phoenix got something else in his blood, bro.
Like, I love this match.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
this was beautiful. This is probably one of the most beautiful matches I've seen. And like, it was art.
Man. Like, anybody who listens to this show knows these are literally two of my favorite wrestlers right here. But like, and I feel like they showed exactly why in this match. But like, mm-hmm. I love that Kyle is able to mold anybody into his clay. He can yep. make anybody work a Kyle O'Reilly match with him. It's yep. a second to none ability. He's so fucking good at it. And with Phoenix, like, we know Phoenix.
He can work
anything. Like, Phoenix is one of the best in the world. Like, he might be the best in the world at pure lucha style. Like, crazy, yep. flippy, yep. out there moves. But
it's the precision,
wrestled
bro.
In this match.
It's the precision. And he wrestled in this match. But that's something that he knows how to do. Like, that's the thing with Ray Phoenix, that like he can work with damn near any style you give him.
Yeah, he's actually like a really tremendously underrated mat wrestler. Mm-hmm. He's very good at it.
Yep, his adaptability is just insane.
Top tier.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, these two, the fact that Kyle was able to have such a great match with Ray Phoenix, the fact that Phoenix was able to show off that he can wrestle and not just fly, just a treat. I love this match. Great fucking match.
And again, that...
Oh no!
He knew. He was like, "Probably catch me. This is it.
I'm shook. I'm done.
It was it. It was a wrap. It was good. Yeah. It was good. Really good."
So now we got William Regal and Chris Jericho. Their confrontation.
This entire thing, lol. Except for when William Regal sauce, bro.
This shit was man. We don't talk about this whole thing. So yeah, of course we got that jazz.
Yeah,
for over ten weeks.
The yeah, leader, for over 10 weeks.
In sports entertainment.
Not even he didn't even say leader. He was like, "We are." Well, he did say the leader, but he said sports. We're the leader. Sports entertainers.
Sports entertainers.
I'm like, what? Why you switched it up this week?
Yeah.
He went from sports entertainment. I was waiting for the timer so I could fuck around with him. But sports he said entertainers.
Yeah, sports entertainers. Keeping us on our toes.
Yeah, they start playing the music.
Everybody's like, ah, Judas.
Yep, and then this man.
Angelo Parker is like, no, cut it off.
Cut the pyro!
The pyro goes off. He's like, cut the pyro!
The pyro turns off immediately. Perfect.
That shit was hilarious. And Jericho, he's like, I am furious. We were attacked last week and you people all cheered. Yay! And then the crowd cheers. And then he goes to William Regal. He's like, of course, that whole thing was orchestrated by you, my old friend, William Regal. It's good to see you, William, you know? Because I thought you'd be dead by now, if I'm honest.
Oh.
He says, William Regal, you should have been one of the greatest ever, just like me, Chris Jericho. But instead, you ended up a world-class addict. Says you've been fired from every company you ever worked for. And Regal in the ring is like, you're right.
Yo, the crowd was like, whoa, they were biting.
Yeah. You've been fired from every company you worked for until you came here in AEW off the back of your proteges. And then he proceeds to not name his proteges. Yep. He talks about Santana and Ortiz, who are his proteges, Jericho's technically.
Yeah, technically. But I mean, they love Regal.
Yeah, they got love for Regal. Santana posted on Twitter him shaking Regal's hand. He's like, we agreed that next time he's in New York, he gonna try chopped cheese. Yeah! I was like, let's go. Let's go, Santana.
By the way, when I was watching that, he was like, yeah. That shit was mad funny.
So it's a chopped cheese, you say, Sunshine.
It's chopped cheese. Yeah, they take a burger, right? And then they chop it up, and then they melt the cheese over it. Mm, kind of like a Philly cheesesteak, but instead of steak, it's basically a beef patty that they just chopped up and, you know, put the ooey gooey delicious cheese all over.
You're about to put William Regal on. You're about to figure it out. You're about to know.
And you know me, I like my shit with bacon.
I love my chopped cheese with bacon.
Hell yeah. Sometimes I fuck with the lettuce and the tomatoes and the onions and the green peppers. Sometimes I just be like, nah, bro, just straight up. Just give it to me.
Just hook
like
me
that
up straight up.
Yeah.
I throw hot sauce on mine.
Ooh, I do barbecue sauce. Sometimes I do the Munster cheese with the barbecue sauce and the mayo.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Damn, yo, the Munster cheese, bro. Anyways.
It's not a chopped cheese.
I'm hungry already, bro. What the fuck, yeah, bro? I haven't eaten yet.
Yeah. So, you know, he talks about Santana and Ortiz. You know, guys too dumb to realize that everything they have in AEW is because of me. Here you have Bryan Danielson. You know, you may be one of the best in the world today, Brian, but you're a squeaky clean nerd. Which
I can hear Piccolo from here.
I mean, I guess, but like all Danielson has done since he's been in AEW is kill people.
Yep.
That's it. He's just been violent since he's been here.
Something you, about Chris when Jericho, he goes, you don't drink, you don't smoke, blah, blah. Like, and then when he said drink, Bryan Danielson gave him that look like, I don't know about that. Yeah. I've been known to have a glass of wine here and there.
Bro, Bryan Danielson drinks blood. That's all he's been drinking since he's been here, blood. Yeah, Meanwhile, Chris Jericho, are throwing fireballs at people. You're the nerd.
I'm a wizard.
You're a fucking wizard.
He said he was a wizard.
Yeah, you're a nerd.
Literally right after this.
Yeah, he's like, he did it again. I'll throw a fireball in your face because I'm a wizard. He keeps saying that.
But watch too much goddamn Doctor Strange, man.
Yeah, man. So, you know, Jericho's like, you get out of here, Regal. I'm going to give you one chance to just walk away, turn around, walk away and leave. Otherwise, I'll piss in your tea again. And the crowd pops like, I remember that. I was watching back then.
Sunshine. And this is where shit gets sus.
Yeah, then Regal's like, ever since I met you, I've had to listen to that annoying voice of yours. And the only worst sound I can think of is a burning orphanage. So please be quiet.
I was like, oh, shit. I was like, ooh. The crowd didn't pop too much for that, but I was like, ooh.
Oh, that's cold.
Damn, son, shit.
Yeah, that's one of those you guys sit and think for a second. Like, oh, wait a minute.
So that's dark, Rico. Shit. Yeah.
He said, some of the things you said in there was true, Jericho. But you know, the thing that would keep me going along all those years is whenever we would be on the same show together. And as you know, you wrote a book about it. We've been on many, many shows together. I would go into your locker room, go into your bag, take your toiletries and stick them up my bum.
Ayo.
Wait, what?
I mean, to each their own, but Riku, you like sodomizing yourself with fucking toothbrushes? You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of, I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
Right. You eat pieces of shit?
Fucking Kanye. Did Kanye say that one?
Hey, I eat pieces of shit. What's the basis?
God damn.
Man, that was kind of a weird
I
one.
I was to, like, my man, no.
I guess.
That's not very hard, bro.
Like, and then Garcia is like, how dare you do that? That's disgusting. And then Rigo goes,
nah, he tried to be hood for like 2 seconds. He was like, nah.
He was like, nah. Actually, you know what? I think that was the real him coming out for a second. And then the sports entertainer came back out afterward.
Yeah. He was like, oh, nah.
It's like, nah.
Nah.
He was like, that's disgusting. How dare you do that? And then Rigo's like, I did it to you too, Sunshine.
I did it to you this morning, Sunshine. And then he's like, and then Jericho's all like, Oh, terrible. By the way, going back to entrances. Yo, fucking Santana and Ortiz and fucking Mox and Eddie Kingston coming out to Wild Thing.
That was the hardest
Fire.
Shit I ever seen.
Because they was all chilling in the back. The camera pulls up. Boom. Time to go. They all go. It was gangster and shit.
That shit was gangster.
Hell yeah.
So now Jericho's got the mic again. He's like, you know what we're going to do to you guys? Double or nothing. We're going to go 5-on-5 in the match that I made famous. We're going to go stadium stampede. Then Mox is like, no. Fuck out of here.
Yo, he said, I ain't doing any of that shit.
I ain't doing that sports entertainment shit.
I ain't doing any of that shit.
We're going to do is 5-on-5, no rules, glorious violence. There's going to be blood. That's how we're doing this shit. We ain't doing no. It's going to be pro wrestling, the sport we love, versus sports entertainment. A bunch of bullshit. That's what's going on at Double or Nothing.
Yo, he came out here so hard. That's what I'm saying, bro. These men came out so gangster.
It's what we've talked about the entire time. Sports entertainment versus real shit.
Yeah, corny guys coming up with storylines and then fucking, nah, we real motherfuckers. And we don't come out here and talk about, nah, we like to wrestle. We fight here.
The whole time, you can see it in Eddie and Mox's energy. Like, I don't want to fucking talk. Fuck this sports entertainment shit. Fucking Eddie grabs the mic. He's like, man, you want to do all this sports entertainment talk? You got the match. We're going to do the match. Get your asses down here so we can fight.
Mm-hmm.
But then Jericho is like, well, you know what? You guys, we're a well-oiled machine, us. We're working together. But you guys, I don't know about that. Because what I remember... With you guys, he points to Eddie and Danielson. Didn't you two guys have problems before? I believe you, Danielson, you called Eddie, and then he goes to Matt Menard. Like, what did he call him? He said you were lazy. And then Jericho's like, that's right. And then what did Eddie say about Danielson? He said you were a judgmental prick.
And then Eddie goes, I mean, you are, but.
Eddie goes, you are. I mean, and no, you are.
Danielson is like, fair play.
You're right. He wants him to fight, but then the Jazz is like, nah, and they walk off. So then he's like, I'm going to go after you then. And he goes to leave the ring, but then Danielson steps in like, let's not do that. You already got fireballed once. Yep. And then Eddie's like, get the fuck off me.
Yep.
And then they get into it.
When they get into it, the funniest part is they get split apart really fast, and Mox holds down Eddie. And he's telling Mox, get your boy, get your boy. Talk to your mans, yo.
This segment was fun, and I also feel like this segment went long.
It was crazy as hell, but all I have to say is William.
Rigo, I don't know what was going on.
I love you, bro, but don't ever say no such shit like
that. That was a weird play, Regal. I don't know about that one. But then after that, we got a quick promo from Matt Sydal and Dante Martin. It's like the BCC can't seem to get along right now since they're all about violence. All they care about is violence. But if you want to fight, we'll give you a fight this Friday on Rampage. So it's going to be Danielson and Mox versus Sydal and Dante. The Owen Hart Tournament Round 1 on the women's side. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, versus the Joker.
The Joker. Who is the Joker?
The two big guesses here for the Joker were either Athena or Maki Ito. Since people noted, she's in the U.S., so why not Maki?
You know what some hilarious motherfuckers were saying? And I was like, shut the fuck up.
What? Oh. What, Sasha Naomi? No.
And I was like, bro, no, they didn't.
That would have been the most gangster shit ever, though. Like,
but the amount of money that they would have had to pay, though.
Yeah, she'd have had to lawyer up like crazy, but.
Hell yeah. Because the amount of money that comes back after that. It would have
been. It would have been a baller ass
move. I paid that.
Yeah, you got to be prepared to play with your money if you want to make a move like that.
Yep.
But yeah, two big guesses were Athena or Maki, and Tony Khan was like, hey, you know what? Maki Ito is in the U.S. So he brought in Maki Ito. She's back.
Hilarious. Hilarious. Yes. She's doing her entrance, and Britt Baker's trying her hardest not to laugh. She's over here like, fight, fight, fight. And she's over here like...
And it does at least work that she's smiling because, like they point out, the last time Maki Ito was here... She and Britt Baker were friends. They were on the same team.
Yeah, they were in the same team. But still, though, Britt Baker put her head down and she was like, you know what I'm talking about. That face when you're like, God, don't laugh. Don't laugh. That's disrespectful. Don't laugh. Yeah.
So the cutest in the world hits the ring. Mm-hmm. Britt sees her. She hugs her. She's like, oh, yeah, it's you. All right. Perfect. Perfect. Then they start you can talking just lay right down quick, right now and I'll win. Yep. So Maki's like, all right, yeah, I'll lay down. So she lays down and Britt goes to pin her. Maki tries to roll her up.
Instantly.
Instantly. Britt kicks out, and then she's pissed off, and she punches her. So Maki stops, and she starts crying. Why'd you hit me?
You ever seen that cat that dropped the little tiny kitten that drops the toy or whatever, whatever the munchies was or some shit?
Yeah.
And then the cat goes, looks down, and goes, meh! That's exactly right. You know what I saw when she did the look down and then I saw fucking anime tears coming out of her eyes.
It was a perfect anime scene. And Britt's like, what the hell? Yep. And then Maki stomps on her foot. Yep. And then takes her down.
She doesn't just stomp on her foot, she stomps on her foot. Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
Jim Ross again on commentary being hilarious over here like, oh, well, that's a nice little choice gesture.
That's a nice little gesture.
What's wrong with
her, bro? You go to pimp, you come out. Britt's got her glove on, and she throws Maki in the corner, but she forgets that Maki Ito has a really hard head.
Yep.
So she headbutts her in the corner. Maki just headbutts the buckle and then comes
back.
For
like a hot minute, that camera was fire.
Yeah, they got the corner cam on her, and it just shows Maki, like, she thinks that hurt, and then Britt does it again, mm-hmm. and then Maki just fires up, and then just starts bashing her own head into it, and she's like, let's go!
She goes full warrior. Full warrior.
And she takes Britt down, hits the tornado DDT for a near fall. She sets up for the Kokeshi, the headbutt, but then Britt tries to dodge it, but then Maki just twirls, and then moves. And then hits the Kokeshi anyway. And she hits it for a near fall.
Yep. I like the way she did that, though, where she's like about to do it, and then she twirled back and then did it.
Yeah. it was smart because Britt dodged it earlier in the match, so Maki was ready for it this time. Yep.
If you hear the crowd, and then they ramp up again.
Yay! So as soon as Maki hit the Kokeshi and Britt kicked out, she got up, hit her with the fucking super kick, and then put on lockjaw, and then won. I was like, what?
That's it.
And that's when I knew, something went long. Because now they're rushing the show.
Yep. Everything after this was a little rushed.
Yeah. Fun match, but way rushed. So again, I get the vibe that the Regal Jericho thing went long. Post-match, Tony Storm comes out to enact the Universe Mode cutscene, and oh my God, man, she's so fucking fine. It's not right. You understand me? Even JR was like, wow, Tony looks great.
She's very pretty. I was like, she's very pretty, bro. I was just like,
she's so fucking fine.
You know,
man.
You know that
no sense.
Them old school like sitcoms when you see the hot girl and you're just like, ah, and then yeah, insert man. Name here.
Yeah.
That every time I see Tony, it's just like, ah, Tony. Bitch is dreamy.
So, yeah, next round, Tony Storm, Britt Baker in the Owen Hart tournament. Both of the Jokers showed up and were defeated tonight. Shout out to the Joker. We got Tony Schiavone in the ring. He announces next week being the three-week anniversary of AEW. Three-year anniversary, pardon.
And he's running 3 years?
It,
shit.
Yeah, he's running it down.
Where the time went, bro?
I know, like, time flies. It really does seem like just yesterday, that episode of BTE with them on all on their phones, like 3, 2, 1, and All Elite Wrestling. And 3 years later, here we are. Second biggest promotion in the United in North America, maybe the world. That's crazy. That's honestly crazy.
Scary.
Scary. Scary how fast this shit really popped off. But you know, they're setting all that up for next week. But then Serena Deeb comes out and she's like, I am tired of hearing you talk, Tony Schiavone. And Tony's like, what the hell?
My disclaimer for this whole promo is she was hella nervous. You could hear it in her voice. She kept fucking shit up and just.
This, again, I feel like of all the segments that were affected by the fucking time being rushed, this one was hurt the most. Because, yeah, they're all just flying through this shit trying to, you know, get all their cues and shit. So, yeah, Serena's out there. She's like, Tony, you said I can't beat Thunder Rosa. And Tony's like, I said I picked Thunder Rosa to win, but I think you can beat her. But then she's like, you said I can't beat her. I can fucking beat her. Then she calls out Dustin Rhodes.
Dustin, get your ass out of here. Like, immediately. And I was like, damn, yo, what the fuck happened here?
They're like, what happened? And then Dustin comes out and she's like, Jim Ross might be the only one around here with some sense.
Ooh.
And JR on commentary is like, you're damn right. He didn't say that.
But you know he felt it.
In his head, he said that. You're damn right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she cuts in the dust and she's like, you know everything I had to go through to make it in this business. You understand of what I went through when I put silicone in my chest to satisfy some old pervert. And you understand how hard it was for women like me back then. And Dustin's
that's
like,
that's the line that got me. That's the line that got me. When she said she had to put implants in her chest for WWE. Ooh.
It sucks because like by this point, it's like she's getting into the groove and it's like she's spitting. And I'm like, okay, we're going somewhere. But like they got to fly through everything. So, you know, she's yelling at Dustin. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Thunder Rosa comes out. And, you know, she's had enough. She powers down. Her and Serena are trying to go at each other, but Dustin holds her back.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, Thunder Rosa, in all the madness, elbows Dustin in the head.
Yep.
And Dustin falls. And Serena picks up the belt, cracks Thunder Rosa with it, and then, you know, walks off with the belt, raising it in the air.
And then Dustin is over here like, don't take that. But he can't leave Thunder. So he's just like, ah.
And poor Dustin is just like, and you know, that's the segment. I didn't think this was a bad segment, but for one, it probably could have and probably should have been like a sit down interview.
Yeah.
And I didn't necessarily need another heel challenger steals the championship belt angle.
Yeah, they do that too much in AEW. I'm sorry, they do that shit a lot.
Yeah, like I get Serena's whole deal here is she feels like she should be the champion.
Yeah.
And you know, like it's only a matter of time before I actually am the champion. But like, again, like we've said, they've done this quite a few times.
Yeah.
Heel steals the belt. If they've never done it before, then it would have been fine. But they've done this before.
I'm kind of cool with the heel just picking up the belt, raising it like I'm coming for this, and dropping it right on the baby face.
Yeah, yeah. Like I wish people would do more shit like that. Yeah, like when they knock out the champ, they drape the belt over them. Like, it's yours for now, but it's only a matter of time. But, you know, they did what they did that. And, you know, I don't know, man. I just feel like they haven't done enough with this feud to get me amped for this match. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a shame because I feel like it shouldn't be that hard to hype you up for a Serena D. Thunder Rosa match.
Hell no.
I feel like it shouldn't be that hard.
But they're not really... It's the thing. I feel like there's no focus when it comes to the women's division, when it comes to AEW. Tony Khan gets upset about it, but it's true, bro. There's no focus. It's like we talked focus, no characters. There's no development. It's just quick. You know what I'm saying? Like, and of course, maybe this was a whole, you know, I guess, due to circumstances type of deal. But I would have way better had, like, a recorded type of deal.
Yeah.
And then you could just put that on quick. And then, you know, it would have taken less time. And if you had to edit and chop here and there right quick because something went long, you had a few minutes to do that. And they didn't do that.
Yeah, like, it's like we talked about last week with Katie. Like, if everything they did was like Tony Storm versus Jamie Hayter, mm-hmm. then we would never complain about the women's division. But here's the flip side of that this week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where, you know, the focus isn't there. That attention to detail with the isn't there. Like, I feel like this feud would have just been better off with, like, Serena just killing some girls in preparation to the pay-per-view. Like, mm-hmm. she brings back the gimmick, the challenge, and just kills some girls while Thunder Rosa is getting angry and pissed off. And then, you know, eventually they'll have a promo or two and then keep going. But, like, I feel like both of these women's strengths are more in-ring charisma than talking charisma.
Yep, I agree.
And they just had them cut these promos back and forth for a couple weeks. And it wasn't even like they were promos that were allowed. Like, the first one was fine, but, like, ever since then, it's just been little tiny promos to try to continue to take it forward. And I don't feel like it's been enough.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a shame because these women are really talented and I feel like they should be getting more. It looks like there's been enough talk. There's time for the main event.
Bigger.
Owen Hart tournament round one. This is the final match of round one. Jeff Hardy versus Adam Cole, baby. And yeah, I looked at the clock. I saw we were within the 9:50 pocket.
I said, ooh.
And I was like, oh yeah, this is going to go quick. Yeah. And they fucking speed run this match.
But it was good.
Speed run of this match.
But it was good.
It was good. It was definitely good. Don't get me wrong.
It was amazing.
Like, remember what I said last week with Tony Storm and Jamie Hayter? They squeezed the 15-minute match into 10. Yep. That was this match. They squeezed the 10-minute match into 5.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, but it wasn't bad at all.
Yep.
Cole attacks him from behind. Jeff comes back. Cole gets the heat going to Pip. We come back. Jeff makes a comeback, goes for Whisper in the Wind. But Cole super kicks him out of Whisper in the Wind for a near fall.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff comes back, hits the Twist of Hate, which is the stunner version.
Yep.
And then the reverse Twist of Fate. And then he goes up for the Swanton. But Cole dodges and then lowers the boom on him for the win.
That was it, but it was good.
Boom, 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 boom. That's how they went.
They shot.
Yeah. So then post-match, Matt Hardy comes in. He wants some smoke. But then the Young Bucks run down.
He doesn't really want smoke. He's protecting Jeff so that shit don't go down.
Yeah.
Then the Young Bucks come down.
He's looking at this motherfucker like, I'll kick your ass.
Yep.
And then the Young Bucks run down. And they're going to go for the super kick. But the Hardys are like, what the hell y'all think y'all doing?
Yep. They turn around so fast. Like, excuse me?
Yeah. And the Bucks are like, oh, shit. Hang on.
Yep.
And then Adam Cole takes them out from behind.
Yep. And then they look at them like, it was that easy. It was that easy.
That simple. All right, let's get him. Mm-hmm. So now the Bucks and Cole, they're beating down the Hardys. But then out come Darby Allin and Sting.
And Sting!
They're even in the odds. But then Redragon comes out to uneven those evened odds.
Yep.
They hit total elimination on the ramp. Mm-hmm. I love it. Total elimination on the ramp. Leaving Sting alone in the ring. And he's fighting them all off for a second. Mm-hmm. But then the Young Bucks super kick him in the shoulder.
Yep.
And he goes down.
I don't know. He's too tall, bro. Y'all motherfuckers used to shooting on all these little short motherfuckers.
Yeah, he's a tall guy.
Sting is up there, bro. You should...
He went down, though. They got him.
Yeah, he did the deal. But, you know, he did it because, you know, I respect y'all kids. But
he's a good guy. He's a good
just
guy.
Just know, motherfuckers, next time I'm going to look at both of y'all and be like, do it again.
I'm going to do this thing, no sell, and then you got to do it again.
Yeah, I would have done that.
And then, bloop. And then, yeah, Bucks super kick him, and then they take a chair, wrap it around his ankle, and they pilmanize the
man. They pilmanized him. Why they always pilmanize a motherfucker?
Son of a bitch.
This shit ain't right.
Paul Bryan Jr. in the back was like, no!
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 Not my dad! Fucking having traumatizing PTSD after that.
Every time somebody gets pilmanized, Bryan Pilman Jr. is in the back like, no!
He's not even watching. He just feels it. He senses it.
He feels it. A disturbance in the force.
No. No. Someone. No.
No. He falls to his knees. Fucking Griffin Jr. are like, yo, what happened?
Someone's been humanized.
So yeah, it's chaos. Everybody, the heels are standing tall over the beaten baby faces. And then Tony just goes, we're out of time.
Yo, did you hear what I, what? Well, did you read what I sent you?
I wrote it. Straight Nitro vibes.
Yup. I was like, yo, that shit gave me vibes of WCW, bro.
Straight Nitro vibes.
Oh, I'm sorry, we're out of time here. I was like, yes.
I'm like, oh,
this is how you end the fucking dynamite.
That's my heart. That's my heart right there.
This is how you fucking end the dynamite, bro. I was like, yes, that's what you do. Then the crowd is over here like, oh, and then the fucking fans at home are like, no, wait.
Yeah.
Damn, yo, that was great.
That was dynamite. Another one of those AEW dynamites that's going swimmingly. Bunch of great matches, good segments, and then you got one long talking segment in the middle that throws off the pacing by the end.
But it was good shit.
Yeah, good shit. Back half wasn't terrible. Mm-hmm. They just had to rush through everything. And I will say, rushing through two women's segments the way they did, not a great look optics-wise. Yep. I know not their fault, but not a great look.
Got it? So, man. It's the same thing that I keep saying. Stop letting the women's situations like end up dying due to circumstance. Spread the motherfuckers out. Do some good shit. Have some fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop fucking shit up.
Yeah, man. Because like it, the talent is there. Like we're at a point where it's not even a matter of well, they don't necessarily have TV ready talent. They do now. They do. They have a decent amount of girls who can work on TV and have good matches and cut good promos and do good segments and all that stuff. It's just, they got to put them in the right position.
I think it's time for you to tell these people where else to find us.
Yes, indeed. You already know where to find us. Find us on Instagram at Ramblemania Show and at Banter Club Podcast. Mm-hmm. Find us on Twitter at Ramblemania, Facebook.com/Ramblemania Show. Also find our group there, Ramblemania Show's Banter Club, where we and the other wrestlers, podcasters, everybody we associate with post all our goings on and all that is going down. As far as the audio goes, wherever audio is found, that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Overcast, everywhere your podcasts are found, search Ramblemania Show or Banter Club. Of course, give us them 5-star ratings on Spotify and Apple Tunes, if you will. And the visuals, twitch.tv/RambleManiaShow. Look us up on YouTube, RambleMania Show or Banter Club. You get here, like the videos, click subscribe, and click the bell so that when the new content drops, it goes straight to you.
And Spotify now has visuals.
Of course, we on Spotify video as well. Mm-hmm. And as for me personally, find me on Instagram at TJ the Great One. That's TJ the GR, the number 8, the number 1. And find me on Twitter at TJ the Great. That's TJ the GR, the number 8. It's as simple as that.
TJ the Great. You can find me on Instagram at the number 6, the letter X, the letter L, that is at 6XL. You can find me on Twitter at SIIXX8I. Great, that is that SIIXX. You're already. And you can find us on TikTok, where we post little funny clips of these beautiful shows that we do for all of you guys, man. That is at Ramblemania Show. Find us on TikTok. Woo! We're going to leave you beautiful BC aliens out there, the Banter Club loyalists, with a little something we like to call Leia Too Sweet.
Sweet.
And a good fight.
And a good night.